Tamari Dunn is a tech entrepreneur. A new research released by Internet New Zealand highlights a drive from diverse communities to be more active in shaping the future of the internet. Thanks for joining us on today's program, Tamari. Ngā mihi, haere mai.
Tēnā tātou I te iwi, atu mārī e Dale.
Tēnā koe.
Me te whānau. Kia ora.
Thanks, Tamari. Listen, diverse voices such as Tangata Whenua, not really heard in the internet world. Why is this happening and what can be done about it? Research has been carried out in the Making Everything Achievable and Toi Ardia. Perhaps you could give us a sort of lay of the land, kōrero, to set us up, please, Kay Marie.
Well, kia ora tātou. Yes, so tomorrow we're launching a couple of reports. This is one of them from Internet New Zealand. And around 12 months ago, we had an opportunity to really unpack and explore how can the internet not only be more accessible to whānau Māori, but also how could it be more equitable, and also what are the experiences that Māori are having when they are using the internet, which was really, really interesting.
Can you share some of the things that stand out for you about it?
So we did a range of different interviews with Māori. So we worked with a group of rangatahi from Tāmaki Makaurau. And generally, the themes that came from young people were things like the internet doesn't reflect who we are. Do we need, one of the questions we posed was, do you think it's appropriate to consider navigating the internet like you would when you were entering onto a marae? Some people kind of thought, oh, no way, I would never do what I do on the marae, what I do online. So, no, however, good point. The other really interesting thing that came through were whānau exploring creating their own private internet because they feel unsafe. They don't know who's reading or using their data or information. I thought that was pretty cool from rangatahi who spend probably 60 to 80% of their free time online. So that was cool. Another cluster of interviews we did were with whānau who were associated in gangs, and they also had their own not only challenges with being able to afford the internet or have connectivity, but the critical issue that they had was understanding how technology works and also being able to navigate safely as well. And then we went up to Te Tairawhiti. We interviewed a range of both young children and also Pākehā. And, you know, their experiences were equally insightful, in particular this kuia who was over the age of 85. And she talked about how she trusted. So one of the questions for us was, do you trust the internet? Do you trust what goes on there? And we had a big mat on the ground, which we call a comfort board, and people would kind of position themselves on a rating scale to see how they felt about their experiences. And in Tairawhiti, they were like, one queer actually had high trust for the internet. And so we unpacked that with her, and she said, well, actually, I have my mokopuna who does all of my online work for me. So she knows my bank account, she does all my banking for me, any email that comes through, she does that for me. So because I trust my mokopuna and she does that work, I therefore trust the internet. And the rest of her whānau in the room were listening, and they were both going, oh my gosh, you really trust your mokopuna. But also how cool it was that the kuia knew her limitations and she was using her mokopuna to help her navigate a world that was quite scary. And then the final point were people who got hacked. That was consistent across all the communities that we connected to were identity theft. People, yeah, bad players, bad actors, misusing their Facebook profiles, and then them losing a lot of money because they didn't have safety mechanisms around the way that they conduct themselves online.
A couple of interesting pieces that you just touched on there. Our own private internet, and that many are very concerned about privacy matters and algorithms. I mean, ultimately, the internet really, the big players are all about marketing, aren't they? And so the algorithms allow that to proceed better from their perspective. How seriously do our people Māori take the intrusion into privacy that accompanies internet behaviour?
I think that they probably don't take it as seriously as they should. And so part of that is, one, even having access to basic education to understand. And this is one particular issue that came out when I thought, you know, there could be a Y claim that could emerge with the Crown, because essentially too many of our whānau do not have access to free or accessible education to help them navigate the internet safely. So I think that we're a bit cavalier online. The whole conversation around convenience. So it's convenience. I don't really care what Facebook or other companies do with my data. But it's not until something bad happens when people go, oh my goodness, this is not okay, especially when people lose money. And then there's a lot of whakamā around it too. So if they do get hacked or if something happens, they don't know who to talk to and they don't want to look stupid in front of their whānau, so they say nothing or try and deal with it themselves. And I think that's the third part, which is where do Māori turn to when these issues occur, and are we using these entities like Internet Safe or Internet NZ to help us navigate these challenges as they pop up? And basically the answer was no. But one great thing about this research is that we are raising the profile of Internet New Zealand so that more communities can learn about their important work and how they can serve our aspirations for navigating online.
All our lives are entwined with the net nowadays. How can people from varied backgrounds help shape the internet, Kay Marie?
Yeah. I mean, the internet and its whakapapa is so interesting because it was a military system in the beginning, and then over time, obviously, it's become commercialised. But, you know, the internet is very much an intertwined part of our lives, and it is the bridge into emergent technologies. All the technologies are all based upon the system. I think what we have to be continuously lobbying for is to ensure equitable access. So do all of our homes, and it's hard to because, of course, you know, whānau are struggling, rising living costs, and so the internet ends up being another guilty pleasure or something that whānau can't afford, so they just head down to the McDonald's or go to the library, which is great. Or in rural examples, you know, they're going to the marae, parking up out the gate and using the free internet. However, the internet should be considered a basic human right and should be free for every single New Zealander. And I hope that that's where the Crown is heading.
What about mis- and disinformation and how readily it can be rifled across the net? It certainly has upset the lay of the land as far as professional broadcasting is concerned, because sadly, you know, some sinister concepts can be shared with relative impunity across the internet and is occurring each and every day. What should we read into what we are reading?
Yeah, well, I mean, COVID was a really good example of mis- and disinformation and how that also affected whānau decision-making. Again, I think what we have covered in the research is it's just really important for whānau to have conversations around their internet use. Do we have an internet plan? Do we know what happens when we are online and who potentially could be looking at our work? Are our devices secure? And then also, what do we do if something bad happens? So I think those parts are really important and actions that whānau can take. And then the broader influence of the internet as well. We also have to be asking ourselves the questions, is this information true? What are the sources? And how do we double check and know that this information that I'm receiving is accurate, but that's also hard. My last point on that is TikTok and the New Zealand Police have joined forces and they've basically removed any reference to gangs and also taken down a whole bunch of kind of gang-related TikTok channels, both here and I believe in Australia. Now, why that's important is because, you know, when you've got a company like that that are wanting to impact the algorithm or the way that information is served up to their users, and they are now using their influence to cut things off, what we also can do is we can also prevent access to helpful information. So now news can't use the word gangs or report on any gang stories on TikTok because that will immediately be taken down. So I guess it's like, where do we draw the line of trying to protect citizens from disinformation to where, you know, agencies or the government are reaching in and also preventing us from accessing info? Because you can imagine, if they're removing the ability for us to see information from gangs, what if it was Māori? What if it was Te Tiriti, and they just decided that actually, no, we don't want New Zealand citizens to hear about this anymore, considering the shifts, the shift in the political landscape at the moment. Imagine, you know, the government of the future were influencing companies to do things like that. So I think we just have to be mindful and connect with organisations like Internet New Zealand to help us ensure that we still have a voice on these matters.